What do you know about Jesus? Well, he never fails. Why won't he fail? Because he's Jesus, he's God. Why will he not fail you? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. He died for you. Because he died for you. He's forgiven you. He's forgiven you.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 32. I have marked at the top of my outlines when I began this study in the fourth chapter, May the 5th of 2019. A year, over a year and a half later, about to begin our 73rd message from this fourth chapter, which, according to my plan, will conclude this fourth chapter. I know it's been said before, say it again, and you think of all that we've preached from this fourth chapter, I've in no way exhausted it. It's impossible for man to exhaust the Word of God. But verse 32, we're instructed, after in verse 31 being instructed to put off six sins, besetting sins. He said in verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. This past week, have you thought about that? Have you thought about being kind to one another? Have you thought about being kind to your fellow man? And tender-hearted. Have we had a tender heart toward our fellow man? We think of certain ones in politics. Are you of tender heart? Toward them? I dare say, I can't think that I've ever had a tender heart towards some of them. Shame on us. Shame on us. Forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. As I promised last week, our subject today from this verse will be forgiving one another. We're commanded to forgive one another. Forgiving. We think we know what this means. I thought I knew what it meant. And listen, the Lord's taught me a lot over the years about forgiveness and forgiving. But as I studied this, several weeks ago, And then again, as I was preparing to deliver today, hey, he's taught me even more in the subject. Would you say that you're a forgiving person? Do we realize that the word here in our text is an action word?
Yes.
Like love.
Yes. Amen.
True love, even if it's the physical kind of love. Is action. And most definitely agape, divine love, is action. Example, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. Faith, that's that which profits a man. Faith, which worketh by love. You see? So it's forgiving here in our text. This word, this Greek word, is an action word. Just like love is an action word. You don't, even in the physical sense, you don't really love somebody if you're not acting it out. And I don't mean hypocritically. I mean by the things you do. We demonstrate our love by the things we do. And likewise, you demonstrate forgiveness by the things you do. The word here means to do something pleasant or agreeable. To show oneself gracious, and put that in parentheses in your mind. To show oneself gracious. That is our word forgiving. You know where this word comes from? It comes from the same Greek word that is translated a word that we know really well. In love, a word called grace. That's where this word comes from. It is a root word of the word grace. To do something gracious. I promised you this morning I would give you even a little more concerning it's bubbling in my throat. I learned this about grace. The word means to afford joy, to afford to happiness, something favorable to someone. The word grace actually comes from the root word, and there's no other root word than the root word. It is the root word. And guess what the root word is? Rejoice. Doesn't that sum up grace?
Amen.
Doesn't that sum up grace? Rejoice. Now tie it all together. In forgiving, we're to do things that it causes one to rejoice. Something gracious to cause one to rejoice. Like being kind and tender-hearted. You see how he said, and be ye kind one to another and tender-hearted, and how it just led right into forgiving one another? As we have been doing for a couple, 3 weeks now, looking at how this same word, and it is used 23 times in the New Testament, it's translated most of the time, 16 or 17 times, forgiving. Sometimes translated give, forgiveness, that kind of thing. You get the idea. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke. Book of Luke, and we'll look at this passage of Scripture. And I do this because it gives us an idea behind the meaning of the word. In Luke chapter 7, and there are about three different verses I think we'll be looking at it at. But in verse 21, this is concerning John's disciples having come, then sat to Jesus to ask him about whether he's the one or not. And it says, after they pose the question, verse 21 says, and in that same hour, you know, they asked him the question, are you the one? And in that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities. Notice what he did. Cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind, he gave sight. Did you pick out our word? Our word there is one of those words. Well, there's only one word it can be. Gave sight. That's the word. He did something gracious. He did something favorable. He did something that if you're blind, if you're diseased, if you had plagues, he did something that you would cause you to rejoice. Did he not? That's our word. He gave. It's translated forgiving in our text. On down to verse 42. He says, well, let's read verse 41. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 5,000 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly said. Well, that's the word. Our word here is not so much concealed as it was in verse 21. It's obviously forgave. Well, what did he forgive? One that owed 500 pence? One that owed 50 pence? And of course, Jesus' example and teaching is there. Well, which one do you suppose? Rejoice the most. The one that he forgave the most. It was the example of the woman with the alabaster box of oil that came in and wiped his feet with oil and was kissing him. That was the setting here. And they asked him about it. He was asked about it. And he gave this example. What was he saying? He was saying, well, he's saying that woman responded because she had much to be sorrowful about. She realized herself a greater sinner. She had a greater debt. Amen. And Jesus forgave her. And Simon, the Pharisee there, didn't wipe Jesus' feet, didn't kiss him, was the one with 50 who wasn't as appreciative. Nonetheless, he had joy in his heart because he was forgiven that 50 pence, but he didn't have as much joy in his heart being forgiven the 50 pence as the one who had been forgiven 500 pence, which was a lot more to have been forgiven. And so the one that feels his greater sinfulness, his greater unworthiness, is going to demonstrate that in a greater service to the Lord, is he not? That's what Jesus was saying there.
And that the example, I mean, that woman demonstrated because she had greater to be forgiven in her mind and in her thought than Simon the Pharisee, who by nature is self-righteous. You see. But nonetheless, the point is, they were both being forgiven, were made to rejoice. It was a gracious act that was worked on their behalf, demonstrating forgiveness. Now, just bear with me. This will all come out to play, I'm sure, as we continue this afternoon. But turn with me to the book of Acts. Book of Acts, chapter 3. In verse 14, and try to keep things moving here. In Acts 3 and verse 14, it said, "But ye deny the Holy One and the just, and desire their murderer to be granted unto you." That word "granted" means give. It means.
Do something gracious. Do something favorable to another.
Here in this case, the reference is to the ruler Pilate,
who granted Barabbas to be released to them. He did something that was favorable to the Jews. That's what they were crying for, and that's what he gave them. He wanted to show them a favor.
You see. Made the Jews rejoice, and they got their way. Jesus was delivered to be crucified. Turn with me to the 25th chapter. The 25th chapter of the book of Acts. And verse 16. And here, Festus is recounting to King Agrippa and his wife the events that had transpired with the taking of Paul and Felix leaving him bound and so forth. And in verse 16 he says, "To whom I answered, It is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die before that he which is accused have the accusers face to face and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him. Here it was a favorable act. It was a kind act. It was a gracious act. If you were accused of a crime of that sentenced you to death, to be given the chance to speak for yourself. It was a gracious act that they did, allowing them to speak for themselves and to defend himself. Turn with me to the 27th chapter. And verse 24, and this is Paul being delivered to go to Rome, put on a ship to sail. Winter is approaching. And the ship, instead of weathering at the fair havens, because the owner of the ship said, "Oh, we're okay, we can, no problem, we'll get arrive there safely," but they encounter rough seas. In verse 24, well, let's read verse 23 with it. "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." God hath done a favorable thing. God has been gracious. And not a man should have been lost on the ship. You see, Paul warned them about sailing out of the fair havens. But they didn't heed his warning. Well, his warning came to pass. And troublesome waters. And they had a hard lesson to listen. As Brother Mike was going through the book of Acts, and we got to this part. Just the expense that was lost in tossing out all the cargo that was on the ship, all the grain that was tossed over. It was just an expense, plus the ship was lost. It was an expensive endeavor by them not heeding to Paul's warning. But the angel of the Lord appeared to Paul and said, "Fear not. I've given them all. I'm doing a gracious thing. And they're all going to live. They're all going to live." And Paul, because you're a chosen vessel, a chosen vessel to go to Rome and to bear my name at Rome. So that gives us an idea of the word. It's an action word. Always, this word here always involves action. What we're being instructed in our text is to be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving, demonstrating graciously to one another that we're okay. We're okay. In fact, I'm going to choose my words here. There ought to be nothing that you do or I do that can cause me to stop my acting graciously.
and favorable to you.
Boy. Yeah. Boy. If Christians, if just church members would get hold of that.
Amen.
Our churches would be different. But hey, all Christians ought to get hold of that. All Christians ought to get hold of that. And he gives us an example of this word in action in our text. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Whew. There's how our forgiving is to be. Thus does God, because of Christ, has done for us. Even as, according as. That might be a better phrase. According as God. Yeah, that's the meaning of even as. According as God has, for Christ's sake, forgiven you. An action. Forgiven you. An action. That word. That we're talking about. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, and I have a tendency to want to, these verses I know, I want to just kind of quote them or paraphrase them. But that doesn't, maybe it doesn't do you any good unless you know the verse equally as well as I know it. So John chapter 15 and verse 13. Jesus speaking to his apostles, to his church, says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. You see, love demonstrating is being demonstrated by the action he did. He laid down his life.
Amen.
He laid down his life. He laid down his life so that you and I might be forgiven. All our sins. It's all wrapped up in action. What good was it, Jesus to say, greater love hath no man than this, than a man, greater love hath no man than this. Period. What would that do to your understanding, my understanding? But when he says that a man laid down his life for a friend, what's that do to that love? That defines that love, doesn't it?
Amen.
Boy, what great love. What great love. Turn with me to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 5. Think about forgiveness in these passages that I'm reading. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Ungodly. He died for them. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You see, Christ laid down his life. He gave his life. He gave.
his life.
Why? So that I'd be forgiven. So that I'd have forgiveness. Yes, hallelujah. That's grace. That's rejoicing. That's shouting, bro.
Chapter 8. Verse 32.
He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That's the word. That's our Greek word for giving. Give. Give us all things. Because of Christ, God gives us all things. God acts graciously to us in all things. You say, well, how come sometimes you don't feel like it? Well, that's the flesh looking at it. Look at it from the mind of God. What did verse 28 say? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. All things. That means the things that this flesh doesn't like to. Mm-hmm. Working together for good. Even if tomorrow I go to the doctor and they say you got cancer, it's working together for my good. All things work together for good. And I know it's hard for the flesh to realize, how can cancer be good for me?
It's the will of God. We're going to look at a verse. And everything give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus.
You see, that cancer is refining us. It's drawing us closer to God. It's causing us to rely upon Him and to rely upon His grace. Is there anything wrong with that? Is there anything wrong with that? One of us here today don't need to be drawn closer. Don't need to know more of His grace. You see, you and I sitting here that don't have cancer or don't know that we have it, we don't need any grace for having cancer, do we? But those that receive the verdict, you've got cancer. Those that receive the verdict, you've got cancer in your terminal. They need God's grace for that.
Amen.
And with God's grace, they can go through it with joy.
Amen. You see. Doesn't mean the flesh will like it at all. Flesh won't like it. I guarantee you that. Flesh won't like it. God demonstrating that He has forgiven, acting graciously in all things to us. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, looking at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given freely given. Two words in the English, but it's that one Greek word, forgiving. Freely given, acting graciously to us of God. Wow. You see how forgiving is an action, how it moves in action? Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 18 of this chapter. We read, "For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise." You see, God did something favorable to Abraham. He gave him a promise. God did it graciously to Abraham. God moved graciously. God demonstrated forgiveness with Abraham. Has God demonstrated forgiveness to you? He sure has. He's forgiven us for Christ's sake.
That's
a blessed truth. As we said, that's shouting ground. Turn with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29. Philippians 1:29. "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake." You see, for unto you it is acted graciously. He's acted graciously in the behalf of Christ. That's because of Christ. Not only to believe on Him, we call that a gracious act, don't we? He gave me faith. Oh, that was a very gracious act. Oh, but suffer? That wouldn't be so gracious. How did Paul look at suffering? Look at chapter 3. Chapter 3. Verse 10. "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death." He wanted to know more of the sufferings of Christ. He wanted to have a greater experience with Christ in His sufferings. Wow. And we shy away from Him. We shy away from Him. Brother John Pruitt at the conference Friday night, Inverness, and I didn't go. Wife and I viewed it online. Facebook Live. They were posting. And you can go into their site and they're there. Spoke on this verse. Pretty good message from the verse concerning what Paul was desiring here. He desired to know more of the sufferings of Christ, said. But our verse was Philippians 1:29. God's acted graciously in giving us faith, and He acts graciously if He allows us to suffer in His cause on the behalf of Christ. You see, Colossians 3, in verse 13, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." There's how our forgiveness is to be. We ought to be able to act graciously in all things to all people. Why? Because Christ has forgiven us. Has He not forgiven us much? He's forgiven us much. Even if we were saved as a child,
God has forgiven us much.
Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the blood of Jesus, and forgiveness of sins. Entirely different word. Entirely different word than the word we're looking at in our text. It means they're gone. It means gotten rid of. Our sins are gone. Forgiveness of sins. According to the riches of His grace. But you see, God acts graciously on us because of that redemption. Because our sins are gone. God acts favorably to us. Colossians 1, verse 14. Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption, that's in Christ, through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The same word is back in Ephesians 1:7. You see, their sins are gone. They're gone. Praise God, they're gone. But do you realize that God acts favorably to you and I? He acts in forgiving us because of the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, and because of forgiveness, because our sins are gone, because they are blotted out. They're in the depths of the deepest sea. They're removed as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? Never see them again. That's infinite. Did we earn forgiveness? Did we deserve forgiveness? Not a man alive deserves forgiveness. You see, that's what grace is. We get something we don't deserve. Mercy is God withholding from us that which we do deserve. See, we got repentance and faith. Because of repentance and faith, damnation is withheld from us. We don't get that. We're forgiven. There's a point behind that. I've probably said it. They don't deserve my forgiveness. You've probably said it. Did I deserve forgiveness? Did you deserve forgiveness? No. Are we forgiven? Yes. We forgive one another. Why? Because God has forgiven us. And He has forgiven us much. I think we got time to close with this. We'll make time to close with this. Matthew chapter 18. A few verses here. But these verses really, really should illustrate to us what we've been talking about. Jesus gave this to His apostles when in verse 21 of the 18th chapter, when Peter said, Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother? Sin against me, and I forgive him till seven times? Jesus said unto him, until 70 times seven. Look at what he says following that. And it just is a continuation. Therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants?
And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Notice the amount. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. He'd been forgiven much. 10,000 talents. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. Only 100 pence. That was just a small portion. In my other Bible, I have those figures wrote down, what the 10,000 talents basically equaled and what the 100 pence equaled. And the 100 pence was... it's just a minute sum of money compared to the 10,000 talents. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou hast owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Same thing that he said to his master, wasn't it? To his Lord. Look at how he responded to him. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Should you not have? I forgave you all that sum of money. Could you not forgive little? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. You got the point? Have I got the point yet? The Lord here is saying to Peter and to the other apostles, and he's saying to you and I, he's saying, I forgave you much. I forgave you all that sum of debt. It's gone. It's wiped out. Can you not forgive your brothers and your sisters who trespass you very little compared to what you've done to me? My dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. In a lot of ways, it's a solemn word, even though it's a word of rejoicing because we've done forgiving. But it's solemn because we're not so quick. We're not so forgiving one another as we ought to. And we've been forgiven so much. The trespasses that men trespass against us are so small in comparison to how we trespass against you.
how you forgive us. Help us, dear Heavenly Father, to have a forgiving heart and to demonstrate that forgiveness in acts of kindness, tenderheartedness, and acting graciously one with another. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.